Excuse me. Could you tell me how to get to the medical school? I'm supposed to be doing a lecture in about 20 minutes and my driver's a bit lost.
You go straight ahead and you make the left over the bridge.
That's a lovely accent you have. New Jersey?
Austria.
Austria? Well then, good day, mate. Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Let's not.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, homos, and by that I mean homo sapiens, of course. This is the Homemade Broadcast. Welcome, my name's Will Kuntz, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. How you doing? I'm good. Make sure you come out to Sly Bar this Tuesday for the stand-up comedy open mic. I know a lot of people got confused because there was five Tuesdays in March, so I know some people showed up. I got a mean text messages from James Bailey, because he drove all the way down here for the open mic. But it's actually this week, the 12th, so check out that $50 cash prize. It's a good time. It's fun. And new news is that John Jacobs and myself, John Jacobs from Cigar City Comedy, are starting another weekly open mic down at Yard of Ale. I think it's 260 First Avenue North from 10 to midnight. That's every week. So be sure to come down there and hang out. So it's going to be a twofer this week for me, which means I'm not going to get to bed consecutive days until past midnight, which at my, I consider myself an old young man now. So at 31, I'm going to be miserable. But it's all worth it for the Tampa Bay comedy scene. I'm happy to do it. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Good folks down there, Joe and Lauren, they got trivia on Wednesdays, a whole bunch of cool events. Check them out, 2061 Central Avenue. Right here in St. Petersburg. And the other news that I have is that my first blog post for Creative Loafing went up this week with John Jacobs, where I talked to him about comedy and his influences and all that. So check out hmbradio.com. I'll have a link where you can go and read about that. And check out hmbradio.com as well for my mom's favorite podcast with James Bailey, the Dallas Cowboys podcast, and more coming soon. So, without further ado, Australian League football, rules football. He's going to correct me because I don't know what I'm talking about here. But the president, CEO, kind of coach, sometimes announcer, a do-it-all man, Mr. Dean Capone, is in studio with me. How are you, man?
Excellent, Will. Thanks for having me.
Here, pull that mic like right up to you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Which night did you say the Yard of Ale night is?
That is going to be every Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's 10 to midnight. It's a little late, but you know, most of these kids are in their early 20s that come out, so they're able to do that. I'll be leaving directly at 12:01.
I see.
And so be heading to bed.
You're going to take some Alka-Seltzer and go to bed.
Yeah, I love Benadryl is my best friend. I do those. I think I'm hooked on
that
them.
That is sad.
I'm like snorting them at this point.
At 31, you said?
Yeah.
That's sad.
They say it's just a number, this age thing, and it doesn't really affect you.
Right.
I don't know what it was, but it definitely affected me. If I have four beers on a Tuesday night, I am useless the next day.
That is a sad story.
I have a day job, too. So luckily, I'm so good at my day job that I can do it hungover.
Sleep there?
One eye closed.
That's a great job. Don't lose that one.
No, I'm keeping it for sure. So, Dean, tell me about the St. Petersburg Swans.
Well, the Swans actually, we took last year to begin recruiting players, having practices. That was sort of a building year. And you were actually with us when it paid off last Saturday night when we played the our cross-state rivals from Fort Lauderdale.
The Squids, the mighty Squids from Fort Lauderdale.
And we beat them 103-59.
Creamed them.
Pretty handily.
Yeah.
But you were there to see what you actually saw a glimpse of last year, and it took a year to build the team. When we started 19 months ago, the team was me and an Australian rules football. In that 19 months, and you and Joe have been along for the whole ride, so thank you for that.
Yeah, we're proud to be. I think we're going to do all the home games, right,
yeah,
on Radio St. Pete?
All four home games. Joe actually had sort of volunteered to do the road games as well.
Oh, really?
I backed him off a little bit on that.
Yeah, Joe's running around. He's doing all. He's like, I think he's semi-retired.
I don't think he's even semi-retired.
But he's not. Yeah, no. He's doing a lot of other stuff. He's got his hands in a lot of
honey pots
there.
Absolutely.
So all home games will be on Radio St. Pete.
That's right. And the next one's May 21st.
Uh-huh. Who's that against?
That's against the Florida Redbacks.
Oh.
They're based in Tampa and have some players from around the state also. It's kind of almost like a mini all-star team.
How long has this been around here in Florida?
It's been intermittent. There was a team here for 13 years. A lot of those Redbacks guys are from that team.
Mm-hmm.
And they did on campus at USF in Tampa. For one reason or another, USF stopped that because there weren't enough students, I think, that were participating.
Right.
So they stopped that on campus, and it slowly withered, and our team picked up the slack. The league actually is 1997, so that's surprising to a lot of people that there's
it's almost 20 years, right?
Yeah, in the United States for almost 20 years. A lot of guys like me, sort of when ESPN was brand new and they didn't own rights to any content, they would show Australian rules football all night long.
Really?
Because they didn't have anything else to show. Right. You know, chicken race and Australian rules football. I got into the game, and a lot of guys got into the game during that period when they showed it all the time. The Australian Football League never really capitalized on that by having scrimmages here or all-star game here. So the league basically in the United States is homegrown. It is partially funded by the Australian Football League, which is like the governing body and the major league in Australia. But a lot of it is homegrown. It's good, honest, hard work to get recruit guys to play this sport and keep them coming back. And usually when people see the game, they do keep coming back. It's that kind of sport.
It's really fast.
It's very
fast. There's no timeouts whatsoever.
No offsides.
No offsides,
no timeout.
So there's really no stoppage of play at all.
That's
in
right.
This game.
Usually, if there's a goal, to go back to center square and bounce the ball up again to start play again. But no NFL-style guys with their hands on their hips waiting for the commercials to end. None of that. You know, and no offsides makes it, like, blazing fast, which is the main difference between Australian rules in soccer or rugby, is that you can just fly, and guys do fly up and down the field. What you saw the other night on a smaller field than what's regulation, a regulation ground is like a cricket oval.
Okay.
So that is about 180 yards from one end to the other.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when we play on an American-sized gridiron or soccer field, you're compressing that field down by about a third of total area. It makes it a little more congested, and the ball's on the ground more than usual.
Probably higher scoring, too, I would imagine.
Yeah. Actually, maybe not. It could be lower scoring because the game's a lot smoother when you're kicking the ball from one guy to the other.
Right, right.
You saw, and we saw, the ball on the ground a lot last Saturday night, and that's from congestion, so many players on the ground at one in a smaller field at the same time.
Right. So is the Swans a, I'm trying to figure it out, like, are they professional, or is it kind of like a double-A team like baseball has?
Well, the way the Australian Football League partnered with the U.S. AFL is the United States League is non-profit. It's a non-profit, and it's geared toward education of Australian culture. Each club's run differently. Some clubs are just, you know, they play footy as an excuse to go have a few rounds of beer.
Sure.
Some teams are, like the New York team is, practically professional. Our team, I would say, is somewhere in between that. If you parse things, since our players all get their their gear and everything free. I guess that would make them semi-pro, but there aren't any paychecks. They do have fringe benefits for getting crap beat out of them.
Yeah.
For 2 hours a week.
So technically it's professional level, but it's not.
Well, we have three guys on our team right now that have played professionally in Australia. They migrated to the United States for various reasons, and, you know, they want to play football.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily want to play in a city touch football league. They want to play their sport.
Right.
So we're fortunate to be in an area like we live in where people want to be here. But it can be tricky. They come out of the woodwork eventually. It can be tricky to recruit guys, you know.
Sure.
When you have a massive advertising budget.
Can somebody, if I wanted to come out there and be like, oh, I want to be on this team.
Absolutely.
I could just do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to do that, by the way. But I am not skilled enough.
I've offered you that once before.
Yeah, no, I'm afraid my mom would be very upset with me. She wouldn't let me play tackle football. So
tackle football with no pads.
Yeah.
No gear of any kind, really.
I think that's better, though.
It is.
I think it's better on your body because, like, the football, like, American football has the concussion things.
Well,
with the
I think
helmets.
It can't – when you say tackle football with no pads, I think that people get scared off by that. But you have to realize that in NFL football that we grew up with, you have a linebacker and a running back running towards each other and hitting each other.
Mm-hmm.
This sport is mostly going to be you're being dragged down from behind or rolled from the side. You're not going to be, you know, head-on collision.
Yeah, you don't have that time where you can line up your shot.
Yeah.
You have to get the game of angles going.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think that's what football is going to have to do eventually is get rid of the helmets. The pads, even too. I don't even know why they have pads because it makes you more likely to use your head you know, you got a pad on there.
It's funny because just yesterday, I know you watch our Facebook page and Twitter feed, but yesterday a major league team in Australia in the Australian Football League signed a former Buffalo Bill. He was a wide receiver.
Right. I did see that.
And he was in practice talking, or they interviewed him after his signing. He was talking about losing the helmet and pads makes you more conscientious of what you're doing
out
there.
Absolutely.
You know, because you feel like you're invincible.
Yep.
With the helmet on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're anything but.
I think it's kind of like a gladiator type of thing almost. Mm-hmm. Like when they used to wear those big helmets, like it just gets you in that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a warrior type thing. If it's just you, you can see your face, right. You know, like you just know it's you.
In any sport, I think there are two ways to go. If you completely oblivious to the idea of getting hurt, you're probably going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And if you try too hard not to get hurt, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You got to just play the sport.
And I mean, it happens. I'm sure guys have gotten hurt.
Oh, absolutely. We had some injuries last week. We had a knee and a couple of ribs for one player. But, you know, after what you saw out there, for someone to have a tweaked knee and one guy to have, you know, his ribs ache, after what you saw, it's pretty
good.
Yeah, pretty light.
Yeah, you don't have any broken legs or torn ACLs or any of that.
You know, one of the things we were talking about last Saturday during the broadcast is that an Australian player in Australia on a regulation ground will run about 9 miles per game.
Wow.
Yeah, so these guys are fit and they know how not to get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I can... You know,
that's almost a half marathon. What was a half marathon? 13?
Yeah. I mean, that's serious. You're fit if you're doing that.
How many games do the guys in Australia play?
23 regular season games every week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a long season, too. That's a
long
season.
Yeah, it's a long season.
Half a year.
Yeah.
That's the way hockey is, too.
It
feels like it's always
hockey.
There are
a lot of similarities between this sport and hockey. Strategically.
There seems like there's a little bit of it. I was trying to explain it to my friends after the game. I went over and had some drinks with some friends, and they're like, so what is that? And I was like, well, it's like rugby. I would say it's like half rugby, and then there's 10% basketball in there. There's 10% football.
Right.
A little bit of hockey. It's just got a little bit of everything.
It's sort of developed on its own. I tell people sometimes, just like the animals in Australia, the game developed on its own, and it's its own thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But in hockey, if you have the puck in your back end of the, you know, rink too long, you're going to pay a price. And that's very similar to the game as it played out last Saturday. If you don't get the ball out of your defensive zone, the other team's going to make you pay. And both teams did that, you know, quite a lot. We were fortunate because our offense was in pretty good gear. We've got some good guys up front, so we scored a lot of points.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the average scoring for Australian?
You take a goal is worth 6 points, like a touchdown. We haven't had a game this season where we've had less than in practice, and we've had a scrimmage game where it's against an Irish football team. Mm-hmm. In this game, we haven't been under 100 yet, and that's usually 100. Is it like basketball? That's usually the high score,
right?
Sometimes way more than that.
Yeah,
you know.
So there's 6 points, and that is if you run it into the end zone.
No, there are four goals at the end.
Okay,
so. There are two goalposts in the middle. We used the football goalpost for that this last week. That's 6 points. It's called a goal or a major goal.
And you kick that through.
You kick it through. Uh-huh. Yeah, you have to kick it through. Then there are two goals on the side of the main goals, and they're called behind posts. So if you miss a goal and it scoots through one of the behind posts, that's only worth 1 point.
Gotcha.
It's like an extra point in
right,
football.
Right, right, right.
So
you can't run it in at
you
all.
Can't
you
run
have
it.
To
that's
kick
the main
it.
Difference with rugby. You have to run it in and get a try.
Uh-huh.
In this sport, you have to kick it in. We have some guys on that field last week that could kick it 80 yards and get a goal if they had enough time to set up for a shot.
Yeah, Mark was booming those things.
Mark can kick. He's got a cannon for a leg. He played in the Eastern Football League in Australia for 16 years, like basically since he was 10.
Uh-huh.
You know, worked his way up to the senior squad before he moved to the United States. He can kick a long way.
Yeah, he was pretty amazing. I feel like he's a big boy too.
He is big.
He could play like a kicker in like
absolutely
in like arena league.
Yeah,
or something
and
like
Jake.
That.
I don't know if you met Jake or not, but Jake plays on defense and he can.
Is he the really handsome guy with gray hair, skinny?
No, that's Jason Blackburn.
Jason Blackburn.
Yeah,
okay.
he is married, but he is sort of our heartthrob.
He
of the
is.
Team.
He is a good looking dude.
You know.
He's got. I like that salt and pepper look.
He's got and he's a little premature too. So that's probably coming up on you any day now. So you need
I
to
think
ready.
I got.
Get ready for that.
You know what's going to happen to me is it's just going to one day I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have full gray.
Wake up gray.
Yeah, like Magneto. I'll look like Magneto just one day.
That might happen. That's going to be step. Then you'll say you've got a face for radio.
32nd birthday. That's what I'm calling.
Ooh.
I know. It's going to be rough.
Far.
I got to find a wife here pretty quick.
But Jason is he played in Australia professionally. He only moved here last year. Some of these guys were really fortunate that they like to move to Florida. You know?
Yeah. Well, who wouldn't? That's a great place.
Yeah.
Here.
And there are a lot of similarities apparently between Melbourne and St. Pete. They mm-hmm. feel like they're at home, so they stay here. They don't go back.
Right.
Which is good.
I would imagine the climate's similar.
It is. Of course, it's calendar's reversed.
Right.
You know, but the climate is very similar. But they don't play. It's, you know, in Australia, football is a winter game. So they're coming here and playing.
Oh, in the summer,
yeah. And that's an adjustment.
Scrimmage has got to be brutal because I went to the one, I think it was your first scrimmage
that
ever.
That was in May. Do you remember that day?
That was in May, and it was super
hot.
It
was scorching.
It was miserable.
Yeah, it was nasty. So we're playing all night games this year.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All night games because we just can't handle that July.
No. Yeah, you're going to need ambulances there to do that. So tell me how you got involved, like what's piqued your interest in not only the game, but then how you became to become the president of this organization.
Interesting enough, I was curious to watch a game. And when I tried to get into contact with the team that had been in Tampa, they were on indefinite hiatus. So opportunity was there to start a team. I had no idea how difficult it was going to be. I'm like, okay, sure. One of those. it took 19 months to have what I would, a team.
Mm-hmm.
A team
mm-hmm.
playing games in the league, competing for the national tournament at the end of this year. It took every bit of that to get it up and going. It's not like, you know, I was interested in the possibility of starting a Woodbat collegiate baseball team. And when I talked to that league, this is 2 years ago, there's no shortage of baseball or basketball or soccer players. They, you know,
right.
they have thousands of them.
Yep.
Australian rules football, that takes some recruiting, takes some time, you know, so it took every bit of it.
So when did you see your first game and be like, oh, I love this game, this is awesome.
When did I see the game on television?
Well, or, I mean, just in general, what piqued your interest?
On TV was like 1986.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been into it since then, and
yeah.
then you had the opportunity.
And it was
to...
sort of on the back burner, you know, it's like once I'd watch one game a year and say that game is really cool someday, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like anything, when you have an opportunity, it's sort of like sitting there. Do you take it or do you not take it?
Right.
Is it worth the work? I didn't think it would be this much work, but it's worth it. I mean, it's been something. One of the interesting things that make it worthwhile is that the cadets that did the color presentation Saturday night,
yep,
they went and had Australian meat pies from the Australian food truck, and they learned about Australian culture, so they actually are going to get school credit for it.
Oh, cool.
Yes, that was cool.
There you go, yeah.
So there you go. That's a reason to, you know, do stuff like something off the wall.
Sure.
You know, when you think about it, but.
Sure.
It also is a fantastic sport, and anybody that sees it kind of falls in love with it.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, this is the Homemade Broadcast. My guest this week is Dean Capone. He is the – what's your title? President?
I go on by my managing partner, but, yeah, I guess you could say president.
Do a little bit of everything. You were announcing. You were coaching.
I wasn't expecting to be doing
bit.
That either, announcing, but it went okay, I think.
Yeah, it was a little rough at the beginning, but I think that's because it was so chaotic. It's the first game, you know, you're getting your ducks in a row. Things aren't supposed to go
The funny
smoothly.
Thing is the guy from the city – did you see the guy from the city that was there?
I saw – no, I don't think
he
so.
He wasn't going to let us play. Like, when I first got there, he's like, you can't play tonight because you're going to tear the field up. And he was like a really old gruff guy. It's been raining all day, so you can't play. I'm like
– Don't you – I mean, you paid. Rent that out, it's, right?
Yeah, it was paid in December for the whole season.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you have to let us play. When then he's like, if you make any divots, pick them up yourself. I'm like, all right.
What okay. are you paying for it?
He
here?
Was okay by the end, but at the first, that was like the first shock. Like when I first saw your face, that guy had just said that to me. You can't play tonight. Like, thank you.
Great. So is it, what's the price if somebody wanted to go check it out? Is it a free thing or?
You can come free for general admission. We have some reserve seats that are like $20, but. Anybody can come, and we want everybody to bring as many people as they can, because once they see it, they'll enjoy the game. It's a great spectator sport.
How many games are you playing this year?
At home, we're playing four, because we also have tournaments, and they're on the road.
Right.
So at home, our next game is May 21st, and then we'll have one in June and one in July. Then we have a second tournament at the end of the summer, and then the national tournament's in October, so we won't have any home games after pickup games and, you know, weekly scrimmages we'll keep doing every Saturday.
Practices are open too. You can come out.
But night games are the one that I think that people should really, you know, if they're going to come out, they should come out for that because it's a little more structured and real umpire.
Totally.
Yeah. So.
Once the announcing got straightened out and you guys were actually saying what was going on, I was sitting right next to you. I was getting into it too. I feel like I was blocking you at some point.
No,
so
it's okay. The other funny thing is that the scoreboard didn't work.
Yeah.
So when I first got there and was told we couldn't play, then when we worked that out, the scoreboard didn't work. So I'm like, let's try to fix the scoreboard. So the guy said, shake that box. That was the transformer.
Mm-hmm.
I shook it. It had a little toggle switch. The toggle switch was held in by like a little strand of aluminum foil. So it didn't work, but I did get shocked. So that happened.
Yikes.
So I was shocked. I was told we couldn't play. The Fort Lauderdale team had no rosters, and then you said, go ahead and call the game.
Yeah, well, you were supposed to have another guy,
yeah,
right? And then he kind of backed out.
He was an Australian, and he got spooked by being on the radio.
Oh, man, it's just talking on a phone.
It's
not even a microphone. Yeah,
no.
It's good, totally. Although next time, like I said, we're going to have a nice microphone.
So
nice,
he may be jealous next time. I wish he had done it. His life will have turned on that career decision.
There you go. You know? You going to let him do the next one?
No.
No,
I'm used
that's
to it.
It
now.
Yeah, going. You're ready to go.
Yeah. I'm going to get myself a checked plaid blazer. You know?
You're going to be sweating your balls off.
Yeah, that was hot up there, too.
It was,
That wasn't even very hot that night. But in that box,
yeah,
that concrete bunker,
yep,
that was pretty
That's
warm.
What I felt like. It was like a World War II bunker.
It was.
Fighting
like
the Germans.
Anything, like Cloverfield Lane, anything could happen, you know? It was pretty scary, actually. But,
yeah, there was like old paint buckets and everything in there. It's like, what is this? A storage closet?
There was construction paper with like little figures cut out.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know what happened in there before.
Probably some kids broke in there and started making figurines. I don't know.
Construction paper figurines. That's probably what they did. You're probably right.
So there's a St. Pete Swans now. Last year you were called the Starfish, right?
Yeah.
So is it a Starfish now?
Sort of relegated to one. We still have a bunch of club teams that feed into Swans. So the reason we do that is so when we play a scrimmage game on Saturday, you can put on a different jersey. Okay, you're a Starfish and you're a Swan.
Right.
We have six of those now. And sometimes we play it as few as six guys on a team. That's usually – sometimes it is contact, but it's usually not contact. So we just have different names. So really, that's players can also get credit towards playing in the Nationals by playing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we kept the name Starfish. For some reason, football players didn't really like playing with that name. I don't know why. You know,
Swans are same
swans
thing.
Swans are traditional,
really?
So you can't. You know, Swans are traditional Australian major league teams, so you can't really argue that.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Okay. But oh, because the Sydney Swans.
Sydney
right?
Swans, right? Yep. So that's a major league team that goes back to like 1874.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can't really argue that, but Starfish was new and.
It's Florida. Yeah. It's Florida.
Yeah, and it was like a play off the Rays, kind of.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And Starfish has a connotation to like Aboriginal folklore, but football players still didn't like the name Starfish.
You so. Really had guys that were like, you know
oh,
what,
yeah.
I'm not playing.
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds really petty. Are Australians notoriously petty? Is that true?
No. No, they're actually really carefree people. You know, that's a stereotype that applies, like, throw another shrimp on the Barbie. That,
right, right.
That does apply. But jocks and starfish don't really go. I learned my lesson.
Okay.
You know?
So we'll go with the swans then.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
fine.
Go with swans.
Should go like vampire bats or something. I don't
well,
know.
I don't know if you could say squids is a great
ooh,
name.
What's the, is it the honey badger? That's the, is are those in Australia?
No. Well, they don't have honey badgers, do they?
I don't know. What is that? Oh, I think that's Tanzania.
Yeah.
Which is close.
They have the Tasmanian devil.
Okay.
You know.
Tasmanian
so you
devil.
Want to start your own team. So that means you have to play.
I don't have the paperwork.
You are. I mean, I can get you the paper. It's not a problem. I can have it to you tonight.
That's okay. You know what I do want to do, though? Huh. I want to do, like, you know how, like, Conan O'Brien would shoot those skits where he'd go, like, somewhere. I want to do that where you
Slansky?
Teach me how to play Australian rules football.
We could do that.
And I just get beat up, and it'll be hilarious.
I don't know if you, would you sign a waiver? Like,
yeah,
not,
sure.
Okay, so
yeah, yeah.
We're not responsible if you get,
yeah,
like,
no,
teeth
it's
or
good. Yeah, no,
gray hair.
I got health insurance now,
okay.
So I'm good.
Awesome. That's a great job you have, then.
Yeah, they're nice. They didn't have to do that for me either. And luckily, my bosses are awesome. So,
yes, we can, you know, we can suit you up. Is Joe going to do it too?
I doubt it.
Joe should, like, play Ruck. He's the guy. Ruckman is the guy Jason plays in the center.
Uh-huh.
So Joe should do that.
I'll see if he's down with it. I have a feeling
I doubt that he will be.
He's going to be out of town, unfortunately.
For the next foreseeable future.
Yeah, just, you know, whenever I say, I got to go to Virginia.
I can always hope, yeah, I got to go to Virginia. I can always hope that he'll play.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. We'll see. I'll talk about
it. My kids won't play. He's like, are you crazy?
They're all musicians.
They
can't play.
They're all
well, not really good buddies, but I've known Gino for years now.
He won't play. He's just looked at me like I was crazy.
He's a tiny guy, though, too.
He's not that tiny.
He's tall,
but he's
lanky.
Yeah,
he's thin. Yeah.
You know.
And he's into his music, and he's always
I never could
cool.
get him into sports even when he's a little boy. He just wouldn't do it.
Well, he's doing well, though, because he's found his niche. I was amazed the first time I seen him play guitar. I was blown away.
And his new band's doing really well. They play at they play at the Benz, like, all the time.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, Benz is a cool spot. They always have something going on there.
Well, he does like you said at the beginning of this show, like, looking at me like, it's at 10 o'clock at night. Like, I'm going to be in bed in my, like, night shirt. Because when he has a show, he says it's 11. Like, that rules me out from going there.
Yeah.
You
it's
know.
Too late. He's still young, though.
Right.
How old is he now?
He's 24.
Oh, yeah. He's in it now.
Yeah.
This is like your prime time to be having fun and playing music.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I wish I could have done. I tried to play guitar. Just wasn't good at it.
Not
it wasn't my
happen.
Thing. I took lessons, even, and I got to a certain point and just plateaued.
So while I'm sitting here scratching things off your list, you can't play guitar. You don't want to play Australian football.
Nope.
So you have, like, a little finite, like, comedy thing. It's comedy or nothing. That's good.
I was doing the comedy, the radio thing I
love. I might have to surprise you and go to, like, 2 shows a week.
Whoa.
You know.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, you keep saying you're going to come out to the Sly Bar.
I keep
saying
it, you know.
That one's earlier. That one starts at 8:30,
yeah.
So that one's more manageable.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I don't even know how this new one's going to work out.
Probably great.
I hope so.
I heard it's a great spot.
Yeah, I mean, Sly Bar's good. Yard of Ale has a really cool stage.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's late. But I also have help with this one. So, like, Sly Bar is my baby, but this one's kind of like, you ever hear of, like, a side girl?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this other open mic is. So I'm more...
Intern.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So this one I have help with, and John's probably going to do the majority of the work.
What's your blog on Creative Loafing? Is it about comedy?
It's centered on comedy, but I get the feeling they're kind of going to let me do whatever I want.
Oh, wow.
So I just get to contribute. But I'm going to focus on that since
is
that's...
Is it like weekly or how, is it whenever you post?
I think just whenever
cool.
I do it. So,
that's
yeah,
awesome.
The first one came out, well, people will hear this on Sunday, but it'll be out by then.
So do they run it in their print version, or is it just online?
I think...
Just the blog.
It depends.
Cool.
I have a feeling this one's just going to be online, since it's my first one.
Well, send me that, too, because I want to check it out.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Awesome.
This one's on John Jacobs.
Wow.
So, guy I started the thing with. He used to be on Are You the One, that MTV show, and
yeah.
The Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's back here and doing the comedy thing. He's got a good hustle. He's trying to get an open mic every day, like 5-6 days a week.
Wow.
And make his living that way.
That's awesome.
Because, I mean, I was thinking about it. Like, I thought about doing that, too, but my job is so cushy that I have to stay there.
Yeah.
But if I didn't have a responsibility, that's what I'd be doing, too. I mean, he's going to be making more money than I am at a job if he can manage to pull six open mics.
Because I have a buddy that quit his job as a chef somewhere and just, like, posted on Thumbtack and stuff that he's available. He's working, like, 2 gigs a day, 7 days a week. He's making way more money than he did working for somebody.
Is that, like, freelance chefing?
That's what he does, yeah, like catering, I guess you would call it. But, you know, people are going to the gig economy stuff, so maybe
it's true.
Every night open mic would work.
There's always these new, like, apps, like Uber, I think, was, like, so revolutionary.
Yeah.
And now there's, like, an Uber for everything.
There is.
So, like, I think that's what the new thing, because I think comedy clubs are kind of going to go out the window, too, because they're too specific.
Yeah.
And people just don't have the...
You have to have a major headliner all the time.
Right, right, yeah.
Every night.
You see, the great thing about the internet is that you have all this information, but the bad thing is you have too much information, so it's hard to find people that you like. And people hate comedy, too.
People hate comedy.
Hate it.
That's a new one. I never heard that before.
It's tough, man. It's a tough gig.
They just
gig.
Don't like it.
We went around, John and I...
I don't feel like laughing tonight.
John and I went around all downtown, and most people were just like, nah, not interested. We don't want to do that.
You got to tell them people are going to buy beer just like they would for
a
band.
You know, I did the whole, we won the Creative Loafing for best open mic, and
that's all they care about. They're going to sell 30 cases of beer.
Right.
Just, you know.
And you will at the open mics. And, they're just not interested at all in doing that. And I think part of it is because with music, for instance, you can talk and you can, conversate with people, mm-hmm. your buddies, and... with comedy, you kind of have to pay attention. Yeah, you can't be talking. People frown upon that. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited for the other one. Like
it's
going to
be great.
It's going to be tough 2 days in a row during the week of getting to bed after midnight. But
I feel for you. That's just sad. You know.
So when's the next game?
The next game is May 21st.
May 21st?
Practices are every Thursday evening and every Saturday morning at 10 at Crescent Lake.
Where's Crescent Lake at?
Crescent Lake is on 22nd Avenue and 5th Street North. It's a really, really big field. You can't miss it.
Oh, yes. I know where that is.
Yeah. So it's perfect for a practice field for us.
Yeah.
You know. It's a shame it's not, we couldn't play games there, but there are no facilities at all.
Right, right.
Because that's like the only size, even like Walter Fuller, where international baseball is,
They're
not big enough, to play a regulation game. So when we play on a football field, it's like postage stamp size. Well, it was 14 guys, and it's supposed to be 18.
Yeah.
You know, if there had been 18 guys per team on that field last Saturday, there just would have
been
jumbled like
mess.
A scrum.
You know,
the whole time. Yeah. One big tackle.
Totally. Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is the Homemade Broadcast, and my guest is the president, CEO, announcer, Dean Capone. One thing that's cool about the game, too, is that it's open to men and women.
That's right. And in our practices, in our intra-squad, when we do scrimmages, it is co-ed, and sometimes we play co-ed with no tackling. Usually we do not because the women can dish it out.
Yeah.
And the women that we have all played on the women's national team, so they're all really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a video posted where Holly, who's number one in the video on our website, she's just like outplaying everybody else. It's like, one of our Australian players sent that down to his parents to watch, and they're all like, yeah, but this girl is like way better than you are,
I would imagine, though, wouldn't it? I would feel like if there was a chick, I would be more cautious to hit her and tackle her.
You find
just
out
in my
that,
brain, because you always
find
hit.
Out that it doesn't play out that way because you may have, if you're going to lay a shot on somebody, you may have like one really clean opportunity to do that per game. and you're not thinking about, I don't want to hurt her. Because.
Or maybe I would do the opposite and want to hurt her.
Maybe you want to hurt her. Because she probably wants to hurt you.
Probably.
You know.
I don't blame her.
You know, once the word gets around, she's going to be targeting you.
We got to have one where she just lays me out if we come to that pressure.
Black China, I'm coming for you. You know. So you don't really think about it. You just play.
Yeah.
You know, no one's ever gotten hurt and no, you know. Girls get 9 points for a goal. So they're into that.
Equality.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, how does that work? Why come they get
that's
nine?
They came up with that in Australia to keep women involved in the game, that they get 9 points for a goal. So now they hang it over our head. You know, it's like equal opportunity. But it's not equal because they get more.
No, yeah.
They get more. Sense.
I don't like that rule, Dean. I'm all for equality. I'm an egalitarian. I believe in equality.
They get more. That's the way it works.
All right. Fine.
Take it or leave it.
So I'm going to, at this scrimmage, I'm gunning for Holly then.
Okay.
That's who I'm coming after.
I don't know if you'll win that challenge, but you're more than welcome.
Probably not.
That's what we should do, the Conan thing. If you're going to be doing that, we should be doing the Conan segment.
Yeah, I'm going to be gunning for her. I'm also really slow. I'm definitely not an athlete.
But she is not.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm looking forward to it. We got to figure out a time where we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you got you're playing the all Florida teams, but you're going on a tournament, you said.
The tournament actually is in April 23rd in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale actually has the only regulation size field in the United States. It was built by someone who was promoting, a big benefactor of cricket. And his dream was to have an international cricket tournament in Fort Lauderdale. So he paid for the 6,000-seat stadium himself.
Wow.
It's the only regulation ground in North America for cricket and our sport. So on April 23rd, we're going down there. The Squids will host the tournament. Then teams from the Baltimore Washington Eagles will be there. And a team from Canada is coming down. So it's called the Florida Cup. So the team that wins out against those other three opponents will take home that cup. And I think we have a good chance to do that this year, since the Squids actually were Division II last year. So pretty good team. They were a ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
And we came out for the better this last Saturday. So if we keep that up, we may take that cup and go on. And then there's the national tournament is actually in Lakewood Ranch in October. So that's in our backyard.
Right.
That's 44 teams and a couple thousand players.
Wow.
Coming from all – every team comes from Canada and the United States. So.
Is there that many teams? And how many teams, total?
There are 44 in North America. So, US,
so everybody's going to be there. Everybody's affiliated with the U.S.
That's the big deal. You know, that's the main emphasis of what the Major League Australia wants to have happen here is a big national tournament and teams make a big deal of that. So we had a little bit of scheduling difficulty this year because some teams operate as clubs, and getting them to travel to Florida twice in a year is a little bit difficult for some teams. So,
is there a common pot that everyone throws into money-wise?
They're talking about starting one of that, but that's one of the, disadvantages of having two teams in Florida, a long, long drive from the next closest team.
Right.
Because there's Baton Rouge in Atlanta, but that's a 10-12 hour drive.
Yeah.
And then there's nobody.
There's no buses, I'm assuming, either. Everyone's
everyone's
has to do their own transport.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So it can be difficult. Mm-hmm. Teams in the Northeast and teams in Southern California they play every week because they've got, opponents close by.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at a disadvantage being down here. But
what's the plan in order to, I'm assuming there's a plan to expand at some point?
As far as the league goes,
yeah.
I think the next step for the league would be to do just what you said, to have a pot for teams that need money to travel, to be able to travel to games. That'd be the next step. And then after that, I think the league's goal is to there's a big trend now for the Australian Football League is signing a lot of American players to go to Australia to play football in the Australian Football League. A lot of those, there's a combine in Los Angeles, so free agents can get signed. A lot of those guys are basketball players because basketball players are big, tall guys that play in the middle where Jason Blackburn plays.
Right, because you get the tip.
It's kind of like the center, and you got to do
the
throw up. So you've got to do that, and you get there's a lot of contact in there, so you get beat up pretty good doing that too.
Right.
But basketball players are a perfect source of talent to go to Australia to do that. At the same time, NFL teams sign Australian rules football players as punters all the time. There was just the Arizona Cardinals signed an Australian rules football player to come up and be a cornerback, which is the first non-kicking position player signed from Australia. So there's starting to be a little talent pipeline. Once that develops more, I think the league in the United States wants to have two Australian teams, pro teams, come have an exhibition in Los Angeles or New York.
Yeah.
You know.
Just to spread awareness, because I didn't even know it really existed until I heard about you guys.
There's a lot like that because, you know, 20 years ago, rugby would not have sold out Soldier Field when the All Blacks came from New Zealand to play. 87,000 seats in Soldier Field sold out for rugby. That points to where this game could go. I think they wasted some time in developing, you know, obviously the United States is a big market. Australia is not that big of a market. Australia has only a few million people than Florida does.
Right.
So to expand to the United States would be beneficial to the sport. So I think that would be sometime in the next 5 years to have two major league teams come to San Francisco or LA or New York and play, or maybe here.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I'd like to do it here.
Here would be great.
In the trop.
I might be biased, but, you know, yeah.
Hopefully no one would come and say, you guys can't play.
You got to put divots in the field. You're like, it's not even real grass.
It's right. And the scoreboard doesn't work.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So what is something that you would want, that sounds neat, you know, what would you want them to know to convince them to come out and see a game?
Just come out and if you don't envision yourself as a spectator, then come kick the ball around and see what you think of the sport.
Very accessible, all you guys are.
Absolutely. And if you are a spectator only, then once you see the game live and in person, it's an awesome spectator sport. You'll get hooked on it, and then you'll probably also want to play, even though Will seems to be a tough cookie.
Hey, maybe I will. Maybe I'll surprise you.
Maybe
I'll go out there for the video and be like, you know what? I'm going to play this game.
You know,
and then all of a sudden, I become a superstar and move to Australia.
That's the thing. And then we'll say, I knew that kid.
Way back when.
Way back before he was 40. We knew that guy. But, you know, since we have women playing, we have older people playing, guys over 50 play. The one good thing about the sport is it's sort of scalable because you can change a couple rules and then anybody can play.
Right. If somebody is interested in playing, how do they do that? Is there...
They can go on stpeteswans.com and send us an email saying, I'd like to play. I'm curious about it. Or I just want to watch you guys practice. That's usually what people do. We had some guys from the Coast Guard base in St. Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year said, we want to come check it out, and all those guys are playing.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Just like that.
I think they have a lot of downtime, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
What happens in the Coast Guard?
Nothing.
You know,
it's just saving people's lives.
It's a cushy job, you know.
Pulling people out of the ocean and whatnot.
Should we get them or not? Well, I'm kind of reading this footy magazine.
Yeah, I got to go play. I got to go to practice. So, sorry.
I see them grocery shopping all the time, though. They're always grocery shopping.
Same thing with firemen, too.
They're always grocery shopping.
I don't go grocery shopping that often. I always see firemen.
They're
at least
there.
Twice a month.
Always there.
I go once a week, maybe.
You know?
Dean, where do people find you, your social media and all that?
St. Pete Swans on Twitter, stpeteswans.com on the internet, St. Pete Swans on Facebook. Everything's coordinated and ready to roll. So if someone doesn't know the team but listens to Homemade Broadcast or Radio St. Pete, they can find retweets galore. Because we got them going in every direction, I think.
It's true. It's very true. Dean, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And we will carry the next game May 21st on Radio St. Pete.
7 p.m.
We're going to have it figured out, so the game will be going the whole time. No cuts out. No.
And that's 9 a.m. on Sunday if you're in Australia. Yeah.
Be up early that day.
People did it, too.
They're drinkers over there. I don't know if they can be up that
day. They are.
You can find me at home_made_man on Twitter and Instagram. HMBRadio.com, Facebook.com/HMBRadio. Check out the other programming that we have and more coming soon. So for Radio St. Pete and the Homemade Broadcast, my name is Will Kuntz. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.